150, Psalm 150. Just raise your hand and they'd count it a privilege to pass the Bible over to you that you might study right along with us. Now, while the Bibles are being passed out, I have a couple more announcements I wanted to share with you. Today over in the high school group, our new youth pastor is here. It's his first official Sunday with us, and his name is Jason Scott. His wife's name is Joanne, and they have come to travel with us now, and in particular to invest in the youth of our fellowship. So if you have time, after our time together this morning or sometime soon, catch Jason and greet him. Now, I want to ask your prayer also for something. Joanne is heading back today, back to Dallas. They're from the Dallas area, because they have yet to be able to sell their house. So Jason felt like it was time to get out here with the youth center opening and all and get involved in the lives of our teens and all, and I think that speaks well of him. But meanwhile, his wife's going to head back to Dallas as she oversees the sale of their home. Would you just, the Lord should lead, pray that, of course, always pray for God's timing and all, but pray that that house might sell quickly and she can be out here and join with him, and they together can minister to the high schoolers and to our youth here. Change can be hard. So if you have a high schooler or know a high schooler, encourage them to understand that the youth center, which, by the way, is real close. I mean, I keep saying that, I know, but the health department approved the snack bar part on Friday. If you go by, you'll see the ramps, the skateboard ramps were installed this last week. There's a little more work to do on those, but it's getting real close. We're probably only like a week or two out, I hope. And so the youth center is an investment in our youth. Hopefully they'll see it as such. The hiring of a youth pastor is an investment in our youth. Hopefully all of this will speak to them of our commitment to them. Because, you know, as you know, teens today are pulled by a lot of things. There's so many temptations out there. And we want to come along beside them and see them through these years and see just good things planned in their lives and all. So basically I'm just saying, the youth ministry should even kick up to a higher degree, another notch, so to speak, as things get to rolling. And so hopefully they see it as such, and we invite you to be a part of it as we minister to the youth around here. Last announcement before we get into our study. If you have been here less than, well, about 3.5 years, then you have been traveling through the Old Testament with us. On Sunday nights, we go through the Bible around here, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we have now been going through the Old Testament for some time. But if you've come during that time, it has been Old Testament. It's on my heart, now that we've wrapped up the book of Psalms as of this morning, next Sunday we're going to be jumping into the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be going to the New Testament for as long as the Lord would have us be there. So next Sunday morning, book of Matthew. Next Sunday night, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the book of Matthew. If you've been wanting to jump in at the beginning of the study of the New Testament, perhaps when to study the book of Matthew, it'd be a great time to join us. So we invite you, starting next Sunday night, we'll be traveling verse by verse through the New Testament, at least through Matthew for now. Come out and be a part of it. We're inviting all of you to be a part of it as we travel together. Psalm 150, everybody have their Bibles? We get them all passed out? Great. Just going to read it, and then we're going to consider some points this morning. Psalm 150. Where the psalmist sets before us this invitation. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, help us, Lord. Help us to heart hear this invitation today, Lord. And Lord, help us to respond. Would you once again place us in remembrance of just who you are and all you've done and all we've found in you, and that you are so worthy to be praised. Lord, that you would love us like you do. That you have reached out to us, that you sent your son to die for us. Just on and on, we see evidence, proof of your mercy and grace and love. Lord, this morning, Lord, we're just wanting to say thank you. We want to praise you and worship you for your goodness. We want to join with the psalmist in declaring with our words and our hearts and our lives that you're worthy. We just want this whole time to say praise you. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what we're about to consider. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 150, of course, is a very fit culmination to what the psalmist has been doing. As we approach the end of Psalm, the praises have just begun to snowball. And as we reach this last psalm, it truly is a fitting end to all of the psalms. Because its theme is praise, just pure praise to the Lord. Look at verse 1. It begins by praise the Lord. It's a translation of the Hebrew hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. So the first thing it declares is praise to who? The Lord. The only one worthy of our praise. The only one who loves you with his unconditional love. The only one who has spanned that gap, who's reached out to you. If you've received of Christ, you're heaven bound because of what God has done. It's praise unto him and to no one else. Praise where? It says, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament. So it's to the Lord, and we're to praise him from where? Well, in here and out there is the idea. To praise him everywhere you go, to let praise be on your lips. Verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So we see now praise is to the Lord. It's to be everywhere we are. And we're to praise him for what? For his mighty acts and his excellent greatness. His mighty acts speak, of course, of the things that he has done, things that he is doing, the things he will yet do. And then for his excellent greatness, this doesn't speak so much about things he's done or going to do, but just who he is. Praising God for all we find in him, his very nature, the characteristics, the attributes of God that we find in him, his sovereignty and power and love and all those things he's about. So we're to praise the Lord everywhere for who he is and what he's done. With what? With the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Anybody bring their lute with them today? That doesn't mean you can't praise the Lord, because what's the basic idea here? Praise him with your gifts. Praise him with everything you got. Let it all be used, be offered up to him in giving praise to him. Praise to him everywhere for all that he is, for all that he's done. Praise with everything we've got. And lastly, who should this praise be rising from? It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Then it ends as it begins, hallelujah, or praise the Lord. The praise is to rise from everything, everyone who has breath. How do you react to this psalm this morning? Do you hear this and you say, you know, this is kind of nice, but truth be told, Pastor, I have a hard time with this. Maybe as you're hearing this, you're saying, even now you're saying, I have a hard time with this call to praise. Because maybe you've come in here and you're struggling. And there are trials. There's pain. Lots of things you're wondering how it's going to happen. How are you going to get out of the situation you're in? Whatever might be going on in your life, there are things that have you fearful maybe. And perhaps you feel like with all you're going through, how could God even ask you to praise? How could God even ask? Doesn't God know all we go through? Well, please consider this. If you've been traveling with us through our study in the book of Psalms, then you've discovered or you've been reminded of something. If you haven't been studying it, I encourage you to do so. Because as you do, you will remember, you will discover that the book of Psalms is a very real book. It doesn't act like we have no problems. Indeed, one reason so many people love the Psalms is because they are so very real. They're real about the problems and struggles and trials we face. So many times we would be reading the Psalms, we go, hey, he's talking about me. Hey, I've been right there, or that's where I'm at. That's why we relate to it so often. Whether it was David or one of the other psalmists that God used to record these psalms, we would see times when they would cry out. They would say, "Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Why are we going through this? What's happening? I don't see you." And they would be feelings of being overwhelmed and fearful, and doubts would rise up. The psalmist would look and see evil people seemingly blessed and good people going through such horrible trials, and he'd say, "I don't get it, God. What's going on?" The psalmist would feel cast down. He would often feel such despair. There were psalms written from caves while the enemy was out to get the psalmist, be it David or whoever. There were psalms written in the valley of the shadow of death. They're not sugar-coated. They're real, and they're right where we're at and right where we go through. Remember that. Because at the same time, we would see God begin to gently minister to the psalmist in their particular situations, in their trials, in their sufferings. The psalmist, though, oftentimes would begin a particular psalm in confusion and despair, but we'd see him begin to come around as God would minister and reveal something new, touch the psalmist in some way. And while he began in such confusion or pain, he'd end up by saying, "Praise God. Thank you, God, for all I find in you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness." There'd be like the occasion the psalmist said, "Man, I don't get it. The evil seem to be so blessed." But then he went into the sanctuary, he says, and he saw the end of those people. And he goes, "Whoa, God, you are good. You are in charge." And time and again, we'd see that turnaround. But the point is, he'd make these journeys, these and all that we relate to. From our caves, from our valley of the shadow of death. The psalms are not sugar-coated saying nothing bad ever happens. But what they are doing is they're saying there's a call here to praise the one who is faithful through it all. It's not a call to praise as if there isn't pain or trouble. It's to the one who sees us through. That one who holds us together when life would pull us apart. The one who gives you wisdom or strength or victory, whatever it was. And you know it right well that if it wasn't for him, you would have been washed away. It's praise because he strengthens. It's because he guides us. It's praise to the one, the only one who saves us and blesses us. It's praise in spite of the trouble. Again, not as if there isn't any, but in spite of it. Indeed, in light of it, in light of the fact that he saw you through it and that you came to know him better for it, and he used those things to teach you things about him. And then he looks to see how we'll respond to that which he did and showed us and what he became for us and all. So this psalm is pointing to a great truth. Because of how faithful God is in all we go through, because of his faithfulness and all, he and he alone is worthy of praise. Because he doesn't leave us or forsake us when all others do, he is worthy of praise. Because he saves us, loves us, saves us, extended, sent his son to die for us, extends mercy and grace to us, because of that, he's worthy of praise. He's worthy of praise because the eternal issues are settled. You see, if you're in Jesus this morning, though you might be going through financial problems or relational problems, and I'm not making light of those, still there's a settled issue deep down in your heart that eternity is secure. Because see, once we were headed for hell, but now you're heaven bound. And that even though, and I'm not making light of what we go through, but even Scripture says in the end, it'll be our light affliction. Because it will all pass away and we'll be home. And the neat thing is that's assured to us now. It's a settled issue. He's worthy of being praised for that. That he settled that. You don't have to live in fear of what happens after what we call death. But you can know where you're going to spend eternity. He's worthy of praise because he's worked a victory. You see, he broke the chains. He set us free. He brought us out of the bondage of sin and the old life. Because of that, he's worthy of praise. I guess what I'm saying is we could go on, well, we will go on forever with the reasons for why he's worthy of praise. So thus, the call this morning and the invitation to join in with the psalmist to praise the Lord. Psalm 22:3 says this. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 22:3 declares of the Lord, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." The King James Version puts it this way, speaking about the Lord, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." How awesome that expression is, and we use it, rightly so. We'll say how God inhabits the praises of his people. We say, oh, that's neat. You know, we're praising the Lord. God inhabits the praises of his people. But what does that mean? That God inhabits the praises of his people. Well, while there might be many ways to look at it, I want you to consider this one way this morning. One way to think about God inhabiting the praises of his people is how it points to the fact that God responds to the praises of his people. That to inhabit is to sit down with or to dwell there with. He's right there with you in it. But it's referring to something more. You see, in praise and giving of thanks of him, there's something that happens. Let me explain. We read an occasion in Luke 17 where Jesus is traveling to a particular village. You know the story, or most of us do. It's well known. And in this village, there are 10 men who are lepers. And they lift up their voices, it tells us, and they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And then it says, "So when he," Jesus, "saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourself to the priest.' And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to them," said to him, Jesus speaking to the one who came back and gave thanks, Jesus said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, while there's much there, I want you to notice something. For the one who returned, for the one who returned and glorified God, it says with a loud voice. I hope you'll do that in just a few moments. And it says he fell down on his face, bowing at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks. For that one who did that, Jesus had something more. Jesus had more for that one who came back to give thanks. There was more for the praiser. Now, I know that's not a word. I typed that in my computer and it puts a big red line right under it. The computer's going, "Praiser? Well, I like it and I'm going to use it." There's something more for the praiser. There's something more for the praiser today. For the one who'll take time to give thanks. The Lord had some more words, some more to say, some more ministry, some more encouragement for that one who would take time to do that. Now, we don't give thanks to get something. We praise him because he's simply worthy of it. And yet, he does inhabit the praises of his people. And there's this drawing close. God responds to praise. If you're a parent, you know what that's like. If your child came up mechanically and said, "Thank you, Daddy, for loving me," you'd go, "Well, that's nice, son." You know. But you know those times when they sincerely come and they go, "Oh, Mom," and they give you a big hug. And they go, "Oh, that's so neat. I love you." And you go, "Oh." And you pull them up in your arms, you come here, and you give them a big hug. In a sense, that's like it with the Lord. He loves all, but in that place of praising him, you're able to receive, and he draws you close. And he's got something more in that place. There's a depth, an intimacy. Perhaps there's something more God wants to speak to you about. Right in the middle of that trial, maybe the answer is going to come in a way you don't expect as you get your eyes off the trial and onto him. I don't know, but I've seen it time and again where he does that. But even if he doesn't change the trial, maybe he wants to just change you or minister to you or give you a new outlook or strength. Praise allows that work, that deeper work. How will he find you answering this invitation in this song? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and join us. Don't put your Bible up. I got a quiz for you. While the worship team comes up, let me ask you something. Look again at our Psalm 150. Based on that first verse, let me ask you, our praise is to be to who?
Lord.
The Lord. The one true and living God. From where? Everywhere. From where? Everywhere. It's to who? The Lord. And it's from where? Everywhere. For what? For all that he is and all that he's done. For all that we find in him. How? With everything. So it's to who? The Lord. Where?
Everywhere.
For what? For all he is. For all he's done. And how? With everything. And in verse 6, by who? By everything that has breath. How many here have breath? Uh-oh. About half of you aren't breathing. We're in trouble. Let's try it again. How many here have breath? Yeah, that means you qualify. The invitation is to you. Let everything, that includes everybody, that has breath, praise the Lord. You see, you have breath, but the question is, what will you do with it? How will you use it? The call is to use that breath to return thanks to him, to praise him, to acknowledge his goodness and care and love. Breath is a word in the Bible often for life. He breathed life into us. So it's the same idea. The giving of your breath, the giving of your life in thanksgiving, in praise. And that's the call. We receive life from him. Now the call is to offer that life back to him in praise and thanksgiving. But please hear it. It's a choice. Praise that glorifies God. Praise that really is rooted in knowing him will not be mechanical. But rather, it's offered freely, by choice, from the heart. I'm paraphrasing loosely because I just heard it this morning, but Dr. David Jeremiah says something about real praise is when you move from praising God for what you want him to be to when you begin to praise him for who he really is. Psalm 150 is an invitation to praise him for who he really is, for all that he is for us, how you respond. May now and in every breath you take, may you praise the Lord. Well, we've answered the to who, the Lord. We've answered the where, everywhere. We've answered the what, for all that he is and all that he's done. We've answered the how, with everything we've got. We've answered the by who, by everything that has breath. One more question. When? All the time. That includes now. Not later. Not after everything's worked out the way you want it to. Not after you've got it all together. Not mañana. Now. Praise the Lord now. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Father, we ask you to lead.